Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today, I'm joined by Josh Spector out of Los Angeles, a content strategist, consultant, and creator of the popular newsletter For the Interested. Josh helps entrepreneurs and creators turn their content into real client relationships, not by creating more, but by creating smarter. In this conversation, I want to explore with Josh how he builds trust through strategic content, why traditional engagement metrics miss the mark, and what it actually takes to attract clients through authentic connection. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I am excited to be here and talk about all those things that you just mentioned.
Well, we'll see where we go, because I tend to go off on a side trip as well.
So do I. So,
we'll
find our way.
Perfect. Well, first of all, I like to start right in with the fact that your mantra, your LinkedIn headline on your website, you talk about clients from content and how to make that happen. So what inspired you to approach content with relationship building at the center, first of all?
So I think, you know, I've been, content's a funny word because it gets thrown around a lot, right? So to me, content and, you know, can mean everything from social media posts, newsletter, podcast, blog posts. But to be honest, it can even be offline stuff, right? In some ways, if you do public speaking, that's a different form of content. But whatever it is that, you know, what I found is people are putting a lot of time and effort and resources into publishing content in some way.
Okay.
And usually that content is a tool designed to help them accomplish a goal. Right? Help them get business, help them make sales, help them build relationships, help them do something. And what I found is that most times they're not actually getting a big return on the time, effort, and resources they're putting into putting that content out there, or they're not getting as big a return as they could. And so what I am focused on is how do you get a bigger return on that content that you're putting out there? And what I found is in most cases, they don't need to be putting out more content. They don't need to be putting, you know, more effort into it. They're just missing some components, right? That it's not aligned, it's not attracting the right people, or they're not doing the right thing to sort of convert them to where they want to go. They're just missing pieces. And I use this analogy all the time, which is like a wind-up toy, right? And you pull the wind-up toy and it unleashes, and that's the sort of effort you put into your content, right? And it's going, but it's just banging into the wall, right?
Yes, I get it.
And that's, you know, that's what happens, I think, to a lot of people. And they get very frustrated because they're like, I'm posting on LinkedIn every day and I'm publishing my newsletter, and, you know, and maybe they're getting some likes, maybe they're getting some subscribers, maybe they're getting some views, but they're not getting what they ultimately want. And what I found is with that wind-up toy analogy, the toy just needs to be turned. And if you turn the toy, now that same effort, it's moving forward. It's not banging into the wall. So what I do is come and help people and go, let me help turn your car. Let me show you the pieces that you're missing that will now enable you to get relationships, get leads, get sales, grow your business, get, you know, make a bigger impact, whatever it is that you're hoping the content will do for you. I come in and help you figure out how to make that happen.
So where does that come from with you? What's your background? That I know you were in journalism. I started out, and then
So I went to University of Maryland, majored in journalism, moved to Los Angeles after school, started working in the entertainment industry, worked for a PR agency, then was a journalist at the Hollywood Reporter. Then started working in the internet and social media and marketing, and worked at a movie studio, and eventually wound up running digital media and marketing for the Academy of Motion Pictures and the Oscars. And so
there's something in there about comedy as well.
Yes, comedy as well. So I started producing comedy shows. I worked for a startup comedy website. So this kind of combination of journalism and marketing and business and entertainment and all of that. But really the through line was sort of all of these things were in one way or another rooted in the creation of content and then using that content to help accomplish some sort of goal, right?
So when you come to, sorry, did I?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
When you came to your own business, which I think was around 2016.
Yeah.
You already had the confidence that you knew how to do this, even though it was new.
Yeah, I had done it, and I had done it for, it's interesting because I had the confidence that I knew how to do it, but I also had done it for sort of three distinctly different types of situations. Mm. So on the one hand, I had done it for myself. I had my first blog, I think, was in 1999. Like I had grown an audience, I had grown audiences. I had started a million blogs, a million newsletters. I'd start and stop.
This
stuff,
is on the side from your work.
Yeah. On the side, not even really as like a job, but like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And eventually the way I wound up at the startup comedy website was they acquired my blog. I had a comedy blog and they acquired me and it came in and, you know, I started running content marketing for them. But so I had been doing a lot for myself on the side, and then also as a business at some point, I've been doing all this stuff. And I had built a business based on sort of doing that, putting out content and attracting people and turning it into clients and different kinds of things like that. I had also done it for and helped other people do it who were small, an open mic comedian who has no audience and no money. And how does he, you know, again, this is years ago, but how does he use MySpace? How does he use Facebook? How does he create opportunities? You know, small solopreneur, you know, entrepreneur types, small businesses, stuff, organizations, stuff here and there, right? So I had seen it work for me. I had seen it work for these sort of small clients, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
And then I had done it for major movie studios. Mm-hmm. And I did it for the Oscars, the biggest entertainment show in the world.
Yeah.
And what was interesting to me, and this was all kind of, again, before going out on my own. So I was confident that I could do it. I was confident that I could do it for a variety of different types of people. Mm-hmm. And what I had really learned was the principles were the same. That what I was doing with for an open mic comedian with no money and no audience was actually the same approach that I was using for the Oscars with a massive budget and millions of followers and a TV network and all that stuff. Right. And so that not only gave me the confidence that I could do it, but also gave me the confidence and the realization that there are approaches that can help you get results and all different kinds of results, right? Whether it's driving ratings for a TV show is very different than getting a client for your business.
Right, right.
So yes.
Okay, so can you walk me through the difference between content that builds trust and content that just gets clicks?
Yeah, so I'm gonna approach it slightly different. So I'm a big believer in if you want to get something out of your content, you have a goal you ultimately want to accomplish. Forget getting clicks or likes or whatever, right?
Okay.
Forget the vanity metrics, because people get trapped in the metrics that let's talk about social media, for example. Mm-hmm. The metrics that the social media platforms want you to optimize for are the metrics that are best for them. They're not necessarily best for you.
Oh, is that like going to Vegas and playing for the house? You know, like,
right, exactly.
Yeah, the house has the best odds. Okay.
So, right. So, and part of that is because they have their own purposes and their own businesses to run. But another part of that is simply they can't actually track what matters most to you.
Okay.
LinkedIn has no idea if I'm getting clients from LinkedIn.
Right.
They don't know, right? So they just know, oh, that post got likes or comments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get the things that really matter, the first thing you need to do is you need to produce valuable content. And when I say valuable content, people always ask me, they go, yeah, but okay, what's valuable? And I say valuable means that there's a transformation. It helps people get from point A to point B, which also means it's actionable. It means when they read my LinkedIn post at the end, they can do something that they couldn't do before. That is really different than interesting content.
Or you give them a tool to go and use. Is
Right.
that, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And what a lot of people do is they want to post, whether they realize they're doing this or not, they're trying to post interesting content. Oh, that's an interesting opinion about this. That's an interesting story about that. And that may get likes and it may get them followers. It's unlikely to get them business. It's unlikely to get them leads. It's unlikely to get them relationships. And that's a huge difference.
Okay,
compared
stop
to
there for
sort
a
of,
second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so if you write this article or this post and it's got a story and it's got interesting facts into it, and then if you turn it into that teachable moment or the thing they can do that is illustrating, is that better or is that still the same as what you're saying?
Well, so there's a lot of different ways. There's nothing wrong with telling stories and there's nothing wrong with being interesting. Like all of that is good. For me, the question I always ask is like, again, kind of what can someone do after consuming this content that they couldn't do before? Because that's a level above, oh, that was interesting. So I can tell an interesting story, and I can capture someone's attention and all of that, but if there's nothing for someone to do afterwards, it doesn't necessarily, again, it can, I'm not saying you can't get clients and stuff that way, but it doesn't necessarily make them, I think you had mentioned trust before, right? It doesn't necessarily make them trust me more to the point that like, oh, I want to hire him or whatever. Like the reaction that people have to my content is because they're like, oh my God, he's telling me and showing me exactly how he's doing stuff and how I can do stuff. And so they can read my post, go do the thing, have some success from it and go, wow, that worked. What else can this guy help me do?
Okay, I looked sideways because I printed something off and then I left it on my
Oh, no problem.
Just give me one second.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. I just thought that this was fascinating, this post that you did the other day, and I wanted to save it. So it was the post that says, do you know what happens if you DM everyone who likes your LinkedIn posts? I do, because I've done it for the last month, and it goes on to talk more about it. And I think I experienced that initially from you, which I thought was, I mean, I teach LinkedIn, right? And I teach little nuances sometimes that people haven't thought of. And one of them being that if you look at the people who have viewed your profile, that gives you opportunity to go in and message them and say, hey, I see you looked at my profile. Is there, you know, I'm not sure, you know, how you found me, but is there something I can support you with or something like that? Yeah. And this was a similar thing in a way, right? And you did it with me. So I experienced it and I thought, wow. And this is what I think this email was about, right? Or this post was about.
And I think, and that's a good example, because I think like, look, I'm not the only, I mean, look, you said even yourself, I'm not the only person in the world that shares advice that says, hey, you can direct message people who are checking out your stuff and whatever. But the difference is that post, maybe you can link to it in the show notes or whatever, but that post, the level of specificity and actionableness in it. I don't just say, hey, go DM these people and hey, I'm doing this thing and here's exactly what I'm getting. I show you exactly the message I'm sending. I tell people exactly how to adapt it for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And that, when you do that, that level of specificity, that level of sort of action that people can take, and then combined with, hey, here's the thing I'm doing and here's the exact results that I'm getting. That is really different than what most people do. What most people would do, let's say someone is doing the exact same thing I was doing. They're like, I'm going to create content about this thing. Here's what they would most likely do. They would write a post saying some version of like, yeah, you should DM people and I'm having a lot of success with it and you should try it and it's great.
Right.
What they wouldn't do is show you exactly what they're sending, because this is another key thing about content. I'm a believer in that you give all the secrets out for free.
I was just going to say the same thing.
You don't hold any of it back, right? Most people won't do that. The other thing they won't do is they won't be specific. I forget what number I said in that, but I think I said 27 clients or whatever I don't remember what I said, but some specific number. Most people won't do that. They would rather just sort of generally say like, oh, I've gotten a ton of clients, you know, because they're worried that, well, some people are going to think 27 doesn't seem like a lot, or for whatever reason, right? They just don't want to, they don't want to go there. They don't want to reveal the secrets. And they worry that if they do share that level of specificity, oh, I hear this all the time. I'm like, well, why would someone hire me then? I just told them what to do. Right. And my take on that is, again, I believe that you should put everything out there. I believe that putting it out there is what builds trust and what attracts people and what makes you unique. And the other thing is, to me, whenever anyone says that to me, I actually said this to someone the other day, because they were saying they were hesitating to sort of put some specifics out about something that they were doing. And I said, you're basically asking me if I recommend you publish mediocre content or at least more mediocre than what you potentially could do. Like, I understand, I get that maybe, I understand why people don't want to reveal all the secrets, but I believe that it's a mistake. And I think one of the reasons my content has always attracted business is because I don't hold that stuff back, and it breaks through because most people will hold it back. Most people are not going to show you that level of thing.
Well, because they're coming from lack. They're coming from limited beliefs as well. And I think that if you do give value, but you share it willingly, people can feel that. And they know that, well, if he's telling me all of this and I haven't paid him, what more can I get, you know, through paying him and being part of his community.
As you know, from talking about relationships all the time, like, it's trust is the key component to all of that.
It totally
so
is.
So they trust you much more. And ultimately that's what you want. You want the, you want the relationships, because that's what's ultimately going to lead to the sales and customers and clients and all that kind of stuff. Right. So to me, it's like, you know, it's a fast track to trust, which is a fast track to relationship, which is a fast track to fire.
So I wanted to go one direction, but when we started talking before the before we went on air, we started talking about something else that I think is really interesting. So we'll see how much time we can get both of them in. But we were talking about podcasts, and I have a podcast. You're on it. Mm-hmm. And I usually most often have guests, usually 99% of the time I have guests. I love talking to people. I'm curious. I enjoy doing my podcast. But lately I've been asking if it's serving me this way. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a super point about your podcast. So I want to talk about that a little bit, because I might rethink my thinking, and it might be a way to, we also talked about repurposing content, which you do brilliantly and I don't do very well at all. And, and that might be a way to do it, because I was listening on my walk yesterday to a couple of your podcasts and episodes, and one of them was you answering questions of three different people that were I guess part of your community, and they had been preset up probably, or were they, one of them, sorry,
yeah, it's part in my membership. I do a monthly office hours call where people can come in and ask me questions. So those are three of the questions that I was asked on one of those calls.
Right. So you repurposed again in a way, right?
Yeah.
And yet I think you added little bits to it along.
Yeah, I add a little intro to each one.
So you said something to me before we went on air about the difference between my podcast or most podcasts that have interview guests and yours. Can you share that with my audience?
Because my podcast, whereas most people, the kind of standard podcast is, you start a show, you invite people on, you interview them, you try to get guests that are smart, interesting, maybe have an audience that they, the hope being that they'll help you grow your show and all
which
of that.
Which you have
that,
no guarantee they will.
Right. Which you have. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of standard thing, and that's fine. And I'm going to sort of back into this a second, but just so people know the format of my show, which is called Clients from Content, the majority of the episodes is a guest comes on, they ask me three questions. It's basically like I give them free coaching and record it, essentially. They come on, they
now
ask
you're sharing it with everybody.
Right, and then I share it with everybody. Yeah. It is very much, once in a while, I'll do what I call a flip the script episode, where I will bring someone on and I'll interview them and sort of do a more traditional thing. But the vast majority of the episodes are people asking me questions. And the reason I do that, and I think this is the key, and this is true of podcasts, but it's true of any kind of content, right? The key is that you want to figure out for yourself, like, what do I want to get out of this? Mm-hmm. What is the goal? Whether it's a podcast, whether it's a newsletter, whatever, right? So for me, when I started a podcast, right, my goal for the podcast was I want something that is going to get me essentially more customers, more clients, more paid members, more whatever. Okay. So if you start with that in mind, mm-hmm. then I go, okay, well, what do I need to do to optimize for that? This podcast needs to be a showcase for my expertise.
Right.
Not a showcase for the expertise of the person that I'm interviewing.
Yeah, it's like, boom. Yeah.
Right. So that means, how do I showcase my expertise? Now, again, there's a million different ways to do this, right? Now, it could just be me solo talking about whatever. I don't have to do anything. I like the format of, well, again, in part because I was already doing coaching and stuff, and I was like, oh, I could just record these and that could be the podcast. But it really is a showcase for literally, like, if you book a coaching call with me, now you can see exactly what that's going to be like. If you join my membership, you can see exactly what an office hours call is going to be like. Right. So this is what I mean by being strategic in your content. Now, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with doing it other ways. And you also might have other goals. So I'll give you an example of, like, I could have decided that, okay, the goal for my podcast is to grow my audience. By the way, my podcast is fine and it does well and I get whatever, but it's a tiny fraction of my newsletter audience. Mm-hmm. Like, I have 32,000 newsletter subscribers. Yeah. I don't get 30,000 downloads an episode, not even close to it, right? And you know, my podcast is good and people love it and I've done it for a couple of years. It grows slowly. It's not really growing my audience. If my goal was, I want to start a podcast to attract new people and build an audience, I would have had a different format of show. Because who cares about me coaching people is people who kind of know me a little bit.
Right.
Right. So if I was going the other way and I was like, you know, I just want more exposure, I want more awareness, I want to bring more people in, and then, you know, which is, again, a fine approach and a fine way to do it, it would have been a totally different show. I don't know. Maybe I would have tried to tap into Hollywood relationships and just talk to Holly. You know, I don't know what I would have done, but I know it would have been different, right? Yeah. Another potential goal could have been, you know, and I tell people to do this all the time, right? There's some people where I've talked to people where it's like their goal is to get more clients. They work in a very sort of specific niche, whatever. They are never going to have a big podcast. No matter what, because it's just a narrow topic, mm-hmm. a narrow niche. But I was like, your goal is to get clients. So forget the listeners. Let's invite everyone you want to be a potential client to be a guest on your show. Mm. And it's as opposed to, I can't get a meeting with this person, but I can get him to come on my podcast and start a relationship and then back into them becoming clients. So in that case, having a show where you're primarily interviewing other people, if in your mind, you know, the other people are people that you want to ultimately hire you, mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. And every decision that then stems from there, you don't really care how many people are listening to the show, because the show is just an excuse to have an hour long conversation with somebody.
Well, it's true, because I know,
You just want to learn from people or whatever. Like, again, there's different ways to do it.
Well, I'm never at a shortage for, guests on my podcast. Mm-hmm. They come to me now. I've been doing it long enough. However, if I am doing outreach on LinkedIn, or even if I'm not doing outreach on LinkedIn, they come to me just to connect. And I see someone I think could be a potential client, and it makes sense that we have the same values. Yeah. I could invite them on my podcast. Watch out now. Then that is a good starting point for me. So it does sometimes work towards other things. So I see that.
It can work. It's just, I'm a big fan of, again, it's funny, every coaching call I have with anybody, I always start, one of the first things I say to them is there is no one right path. You can succeed however you want. My job is not to tell you to do it this way or to go this way. My job is we're going to have this conversation. You're going to tell me what you want to happen. We're going to pick a path that you want to go, and we're going to figure out how to make that path right.
Yeah, that's
that.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Okay. I come like, more from I think I'm people a teacher get, more than a coach.
Yeah, people get stuck sort of, and they get paralyzed looking for like, there is no, this is what your podcast should be.
Right.
Right. It's what do you want out of your podcast? And now let's figure out the best format to help you get that.
Okay. That's very good. Okay. Let's not flip the script. Let's talk newsletters now, because I want to make sure I get this in. How can a single email build a relationship strong enough to convert into business? So the newsletter, how often does yours go out? I think it's twice a week, isn't it?
No, so mine's now daily. So let me start where I started, because again, and this is, I think, another thing that maybe you'll pick up with my stuff. I'm a big believer in the importance of formats. I'm also a big believer in unique formats if possible. My podcast is a different format than most people's podcast. Right. My newsletter is a different format than most people's newsletter. My membership is a different format than most people's membership. So for my newsletter, here's where it started. Well, I had multiple newsletters years ago, but forget that. My current newsletter for the interested started in 2016. So about 9 years ago. And it was a weekly newsletter. Every Sunday, I sent a sort of list of 10 things, 10 links. Usually one or two of them were links to things that I had created, a blog post, or what I wasn't doing video, didn't have a podcast, any of that back then. So it was usually like a link to a blog post I had created, and then curated links to a bunch of other stuff I found with little summaries of it. Nothing revolutionary, anything like that. But I published it every week for years, and probably 5 or 6 years into doing that, I found myself saying to clients and people all the time, because I'm a huge believer in email, I'm a huge believer in newsletters. And one of the things I would say is people have these preconceived notions about what a newsletter is. So I would hear from people that they're like, I don't know. I'm not a writer. I don't have time to do that. I don't want to do that. Blah, blah, blah. I know I need emails, but can't people just follow me on social media? Like all that kind of stuff. And I would always be like, no. Like you need email, you need a newsletter, blah, blah, blah. And I would say to them, I was like, but look, all you have to do, you don't have to have that. You don't have to write this long thing. You don't have to have this big expansive thing. All you have to do is send an email to people once a week or once every 2 weeks at a minimum that has one thing that they find valuable enough to want to open the next one. And I remember talking to a comedian at the time who like didn't want to deal with a newsletter, even though he needed an email list to sell tickets to a show and all that kind of stuff. Didn't want to deal with it. And I was like, all you have to do is pick one video that you don't even have to create anything. Pick one video that you found funny on YouTube while you were sitting around all week not doing anything, because your fans want to know what you think is funny. All you have to do is send a one-line email that's like, hey, this is the funniest thing I saw this week. And I was like, they will love it. And they will love it in part because it's so short. And I would say this over and over again to different people, right? I'd be like, all you need to do is, you know, literally it could be a sentence and people would probably love that it was a sentence and just a link, as long as it's valuable, whatever. And then somewhere along the line, I got in my head, I was like, you know, I keep saying this to people. I wonder if it's true. Like, I think it's true, but like no one's actually doing it. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do this. And so I started a sort of side newsletter that I called the Daily Graph. I gave myself one paragraph as a limit instead of one sentence.
Okay.
And I said, hey, I'm gonna start this side thing. And I decided for whatever reason, because I think at the same time I was thinking about sort of daily newsletters, and that's a whole other ballgame, obviously. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try this daily and I'm gonna send one paragraph a day. It's usually gonna be a paragraph with a link to something. And let's see what happens. And at the time, I think I had maybe 15 or 20,000 readers in my main newsletter. And so I told people, I was like, hey, I'm starting this side project. It's called the Daily Graph. Like, it's going to be a paragraph a day. Like, if you want to check it out, sign up here. It's a free thing, whatever. You know, a few hundred people signed up for it. And I started doing it, and it was easy to write because I was just, you know, yes, it was daily, but it's like not that hard. I see stuff all the time and I'm just linking to things and whatever. And I would do it. And what I saw very quickly was the open rates were big. The click-through rates were massive. I was getting more clicks on that one link than I was on like my full Sunday issue with like 10, 15 different links in it, whatever, combined. And people loved it. And they loved it, not just because what I was sharing was good, but they were like, I know that when I open it, it's going to take me literally like 10 seconds to see the whole thing. And if I'm interested in it, I'll click it and watch, and maybe it's a video or a blog post or whatever. But they loved that short format. So I was like, you know what, this is actually working. And then I realized, I was like, oh, you know what, like I'll include a little one line ad. So it'll be a paragraph and then a one line ad promoting something. And those click rates were huge. And I was like, wow, like there's really something here. And so after a couple months of sort of telling people like, hey, there's this thing and people love it, go over there and sign. I realized, I was like, you know, instead of trying to get my subscribers to go sign up, I could just say, this is now part of the main newsletter. And if you don't want, let people opt out instead of asking them to opt in. And I can overnight send it to 20,000 people instead of 2,000. And that's what I did. So my newsletter now is every Monday through Friday, I send a one paragraph newsletter. And then Sunday I have a longer newsletter.
So how did you get to 32,000 subscribers?
How long? 9 years of, yeah. Or 6 years of publishing every week and 3 years of publishing every weekday. You know, look, they come, I've done a little bit of paid promotion in the early days. I ran some Facebook ads and that kind of stuff. But that is not, you know, I got some from there when I was getting going, but you know, it's just people stick around. The newsletters, really good. It's really consistent. It's now really focused on getting clients from content. People know what they're going to get. Again, all the things that I was talking about before about the type of content I create also applies to the type of content that I share. So when I curate stuff and I'm sharing, oh, you should see this video that this person did or this article, it's again, all actionable stuff that people can use immediately. It's never, I don't cover news. I don't cover like, oh, that was an interesting rant about LinkedIn or no, like nobody can do anything with that, right? I'm going to share the like how to improve your LinkedIn profile, not the this is why LinkedIn sucks rant or whatever.
Yeah. So, and you just actually, that was your first, what do you call your?
My skill session.
Skill sessions. That was your first one that I saw after I signed up.
But yeah, so it's grown again, word of mouth, consistency, a little bit of paid ads in the very beginning. Cross promotions are a really great way for people that, you know, that don't cost money. If you can find people with similar audiences and recommend back and forth. But the other thing too, and I think this is also something people don't realize, and I didn't realize, this is, I guess, one of the downsides of going daily. You know, every time you send an email, no matter how good it is, a certain percentage of people will unsubscribe.
Yeah.
So I don't have a high percentage of people that unsubscribe when I send, but I now send 6 times a week. So every day, a bunch of people are unsubscribing just because that's how it works. Which means to grow or to, I discovered this the hard way, right? I realized I was at a point where I was like, it feels like this should be growing more.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, like I might lose, you know, if I send to 30,000 people, I might lose 50 subscribers a day, which means I got to add 50 subscribers a day just to break even. So that is the one thing about the frequency. Whereas if I was only sending weekly, I'd lose 50 a week.
Yeah.
Now I lose 300 a week or whatever. It gets to a point where it's hard to grow. So that was a little just from a mindset perspective. And this actually leads to a bigger point too. But I had to wrap my head around, okay, these other people that I was growing at a similar rate to, they're now at 40,000, 50,000, 100,000 subscribers. And I'm kind of flat at 30,000. It's like, yeah, but I'm kind of flat for a reason. And having to remind myself, like I say, with all content, like, what's really the goal here, right? The goal here is not for me to have as many newsletter subscribers as possible. It's to attract the right people, convert them into customers and clients and that kind of stuff. And it's working very well for that. And so, you know.
Yeah, I really feel as though you are completely and utterly confident in the work that you're doing, and you don't care what the rules are, in a sense. You make your own rules, and it's worked for you. It's working for you. I just feel like you have a different approach than most people that I talk to. Very much, I don't know. You don't have the mainstream approach. And I think that's what I'm attracted to, in the sense that it's something I haven't, like, I love the way you you have white space in your posts, and you do it in everything that you do. And it's just a bunch of stuff that I noticed, that I'm very observant, I'm very curious. And so I've gone down this rabbit hole now, learning about how you operate, because I find it's unique and refreshing, actually.
Yeah. Well,
But
first of
it
all, thank you very much. But there's two things about that that I think are worth pointing out, because I think it's helpful for other people as well.
absolutely.
One of those things is I understand that doing things in a unique way or a different way, even if it's doesn't have to be super complicated, even if it's like, oh, no one else is sending one paragraph, so I'm going to send one
Right.
paragraph, right? Is an easy way to differentiate yourself and help you stand out and not get lost. So I understand that unique is a competitive advantage. So again, that's why I said all my formats are designed to be a little, it can also make it a little more challenging to message and for people to understand what the hell you're doing.
Right.
But it's an advantage. And then the other thing, it's funny when you said, like, I operate as if there are no rules, and I do a certain extent. One of my favorite things, there's a scene in the movie The Matrix where Keanu Reeves is there trying to wrap his they're trying to like teach him and wrap his head around like what's going on, and he goes and like sees that kid or whatever, and they're telling him to like bend the spoon with his mind, and he's like, oh, he's struggling to do it and he can't do it, and the kid or the whoever it is that tells him is like, the line is something along where he goes like, no, there is no spoon. And then it's like, once it's like, you need to wrap your head around. And I do think like that line always sticks with me. And I think in how I look at all of these things, it's not that I set out to break the rules.
Right. No,
It's
I
that I
get
try
that.
to remind myself, like, there are no rules.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
my newsletter can be, I can send it as often and it could be as long or short as I want. And I can do whatever I want with my podcast. That's the beauty of this whole sort of internet entrepreneur world.
Well, it is, but I know that I've struggled with different parts of it along the way, based on something that always gets in my way is, oh, well, is that the right thing to do? Or what would people think? Or, the stuff that I don't see you doing at all. You walk to your own beat of your own drum. And I love that. And yeah, like I haven't read your, or I guess I have read your, I haven't read your Sunday newsletter yet, I don't think. I've only seen the one paragraph ones. But then it got me thinking. So I do a newsletter once a week. And I have it set up in two sections, really, with an intro that's more personal. That's sort of a note from me. And then I think, well, should I only have one thing in my newsletter, or should, because they're both related. I, like, my podcast is called Relationships Rule. Well, my newsletter is called Relationships Matter. And one section is LinkedIn Matters, and the other is Staying Connected Matters. And those are kind of double entendres, I guess. And so I write something about LinkedIn, but usually it's from a teacher's perspective, with go try it. Here's something you can do, or you haven't done for a while, or whatever. And then I'm always talking about how you can stay connected and build relationship and nurture relationships in the other part. But is that too much? Like, people, I get in my own head. Well, that's what
Yeah, I
I
mean,
want to do.
there's no definitive
Right.
sort of right or wrong. So like if I was working with you, like my question to you would be, why are you doing a newsletter at all? What do you want to have happen? Like, what's the end goal,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Yeah.
And then we would work backwards from that, right? Because then you go, okay, well, is this, does only having one thing help me accomplish that? Does having two things help me accomplish that? Does it not matter either way? Like what, you know, so like, but I think it's always got to come from, I always sort of reverse engineer and work backwards from that, right? Like, what do we want to happen from this thing? And then also taking into account, obviously, what you want to do and what you want to create and what, you know, it's not, you know, I don't, if I decided I want to do a long form newsletter and I don't want to do this short thing anymore,
You'd
I
do it.
would then go, okay, I want to do a long form newsletter. I want it to accomplish this goal. Now, what
Yeah.
do I have to do to make that happen? Right.
Right.
Like, again, that goes back to there's infinite paths.
Yeah.
You know, it's just alignment and being strategic about how you approach it.
Yeah, you definitely present food for thought, most definitely. So I think it's time to wrap up. And I want to know if you will perhaps offer my listeners, if they want to start shifting their content towards, I guess a not selfish goal, but a goal that makes sense for their business, right? Like you speak about that all the time, right? You've said it several times on here. My goal is to get more clients to do, well, I think most of us want that. So at the same time, though, we want it to come to feel that it's building relationship with people, that they're building trust, we're building trust with them and so on. What's one simple step that they can take?
So I'm going to give you a simple step, but first I'm going to give you a little mini rant about selfish because I think people need to hear that, right?
Okay,
Hear this.
okay.
So a lot of people are get very squeamish about self-promotion. Even though they want to get business out of it, they get very, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to annoy people. I don't want to whatever. Self-promotion is not a selfish act. It is a selfless act. If what you are offering actually provides value and helps people solve problems. The reason people get squeamish and uncomfortable promoting their stuff is one of two things. One, deep down, they know what they sell and what they offer doesn't actually provide people value, or they're really not sure it does. If that's not you, and you know that what you do genuinely helps, doesn't have to help everybody, but
Right.
genuinely helps a specific group of people.
Yeah.
And the only reason you feel bad about promoting it and talking about it and telling people about it is your own insecurity. And that may be hard, but it's not a good reason not to promote it. And it's actually selfish to prevent people who could benefit from what you have to offer and that you could help solve their problems and change their life, but they don't know about it because you're too insecure to tell them about it.
Love
So
it.
I think if people really get honest with themselves, and look, there are some people, it's like they know their product's not really that good. But if you truly believe that your product is good and product is helpful, again, for specific people, then you really should not feel bad about promoting it. So that's the sort of first kind of overarching thing. The second thing is once you get past that and you're like, okay, I'm comfortable telling the world about this. You know, my most basic tip would be to integrate that promotion into your content and make it so that the content and the promotion is valuable even if someone doesn't buy. So I'll give you a couple different examples of again, it's going to be different for everyone, but here's a couple examples of how to do that. If I have an email list or even on social media and I want to promote my new course, right? Version one, the one that's going to make everyone uncomfortable and your audience isn't going to care, is you're just like, hey, my new course is out, buy my new course. It's so amazing. Everyone says it's amazing. You're going to love it, blah, 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 right? But instead of that, you could go, hey, here's an excerpt from my new course that shows you how to do a thing. Take turn the best way to sell a product is with the product. So stop hiding everything. Take a part of it. Show them the actual content, provide value to them, whether they buy or not. you don't feel bad about it. The irony is it's the best promotion you could do because they go, wow, she just showed me a 2-minute clip from the course. I want more of the course. And even the people that are never going to buy it aren't going to be mad at you for promoting to them because you're not just promoting, you're actually giving them valuable advice. The same thing with, again, like, you know, with my podcast or whatever, right? Like, I can promote my member. I can do an entire episode promoting my membership, but really I'm just letting you watch three bits of advice that I gave to people in the membership.
I love it. Yeah.
So that's the easiest, that's the easiest way to do it, is to sort of integrate it into it. And then one other thing, especially with email and newsletters, that you can do, another mistake people make is, let's say you send your newsletter, and what they'll do is they'll wait to promote their thing to like the bottom. So they have the newsletter, they want to give them all the value. And then at the very bottom, there's like, oh, and by the way, you can hire me to do X, Y, and Z or whatever, right? Not the end of the world, but not a great approach. Because people just start to tune that out. First of all, the only people that see it are the ones that get to the bottom of whatever wrote.
Right.
But they also sort of start to tune it out and whatever. What you want to do instead is you want to incorporate a subtle reference to what you're coaching or whatever you're offering within the context of the content itself, and ideally towards the beginning. And a really easy way to do this is, let's say that you were in your newsletter going to share a tip about how to use LinkedIn to do whatever, right? So in your newsletter, you know, you have in the beginning of it, you're writing about, you know, oh, and then, you know, one of the most common mistakes I see on LinkedIn is such and such, right? You really need to be doing this instead. And then you might just have a line in parentheses that says, I gave this advice to a client last week and it changed everything. And to a client last week is a link to your service page.
Got it.
That's it. And what's going to happen? People that are reading it know that you work with clients, know that this is the kind of thing you help with. They can click the link to go see and learn more, and you can see who clicked the link, which tells you who's curious. And then you can decide, maybe you want to do a little more outreach, maybe you want to do a whatever. And you can do that in every issue, right? It doesn't feel self-promotional, whatever, but you're just working in these references so that, you know, if you're doing something about, you know, another thing about how to build relationships, you're like, you know, one of the most common things I say in my coaching calls with clients is blah, blah, blah. And then you just lead into your regular thing, but coaching calls with clients is a link to your service page. Really easy way to promote.
That's very subtle, and that's a great tip, actually. I like it a lot. Thank you. Cool. Thank you, Josh. We covered a lot of ground, and I so appreciate it. And this was with me not doing an intro call with you, which for me was uncomfortable.
I know. I'm sorry, but I appreciate that.
No, it's
okay.
You had
great questions, though.
Yeah, no, you forced me to be confident enough in myself to know that I could do it. See, right? So it's all good. I've been doing it for long enough. I should know better, but it was just my take on not having not met you before. So anyway, thank you. Thank you. And I hope that my audience, I know that they will benefit from the things that you shared today. And I would encourage you, audience, if you like what you heard, to please go check out Josh's website, his newsletter. It's easy to find him, his sign-up pieces. Josh, where's the best place for them to find you? And I'll put it in, and I will put that post in the show notes too.
Sure. So my website's joshspector.com. You can sign up for my newsletter at fortheinterested.com/subscribe. And if you want to know about my clients from content membership, that's joshspector.com/program. And then my podcast is also called Clients from Content, which you can find on any of the podcast places.
And Josh is very generous with his material. As soon as you say hello, he'll send you something if you want it.
That is true. Good tease. Yeah. You sign up for the newsletter and you are going to get a surprise welcome gift.
So it's all good. And I so appreciate it. So if you're ready to stop creating content for attention and start creating it to get results and to build relationships, then this conversation could possibly be your blueprint. Much appreciated. Remember to stay connected and be remembered. And Josh, a pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.